Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We welcome in Doug LaMaurice, cleveland.com. He is honestly one of my top five favorite guests on this show. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Can you believe that, Doug?
You're making me blush, Ken. Thank you.
I swear to God.
I love being honest.
You are one of my favorite guests that we have. Now, I can't speak for everybody at the station. I think we know who we're talking about. Anthony Lima. No, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just kidding. But we love having you on. I almost said the Browns. Is the Buckeye season over?
No, I don't think it's over. I don't think they are out of the playoffs. Teams have dealt with this, but you got to get it figured out. And so I think this Saturday against Michigan State might be tough. The other Big Ten teams that we've seen have to miss a game have always missed a second game. It happened to Maryland. It happened to Wisconsin. It's happening to Minnesota right now. But the idea that even if they have to miss against Michigan State, that they can get it under control, be ready for the Michigan game, play one more Big Ten game, and then make a playoff case, I think it's still out there. I think it is definitely still out there. But it's tough. You got to get it under control, and they certainly have some decent number of cases right now.
Did they wait too long to start the season?
You know, I have a hard time with this because I think most people would definitely agree, yes, the Big Ten waited too long. Everybody else started earlier. But it's hard for me to argue that in a world where the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were the most cautious. And now, look, it's an issue. And so the idea of that their caution was misplaced, and the proof of that is teams everywhere are dealing with COVID-19, that's hard for me. I mean, nobody is making the case, really, well, maybe nobody should be playing college football. And I get that. I think they were right to try. But I have a hard time blaming the Big Ten for caution because I think they were the most correct in saying, hey, this is going to be an issue and everyone's going to have to deal with it. So I don't have a real problem with the way they did it. I think they were trying to be smart and trying somehow to be safe.
I guess, Doug, and this will be surprising to people that listen to this show and hear us bash everything, especially me, that I actually am not here to criticize a whole bunch of people. Look, they were extremely, like you said, cautious to start out. Then players and their families and their coaches all wanted to play. And then testing got better and it got more accessible. And schools found a way to actually budget it. So they brought them back. And it's just not a perfect situation. It's not working out everywhere. Doesn't mean it can't work. Doesn't mean, by the way, that it's led to some community spread or any of that. I know it's tough. We're still trying to study all of that. And it's not like it's been going from player to player, at least according to the studies that I've seen on the field. And you know what? Now players are opting out on losing teams. So you know what? Everyone's getting what they wanted out of the season. The players that wanted to try it, they got a chance to try it.
I think that's smart. I think I agree with everything you said. Because I think A, it's okay to be cautious. And B, I think it's okay to try. It's okay to try to play and do your best and see what happens. Because you'll find people out there who think that they never should have started. These are amateurs. Why are they doing this? But they wanted to try. As you said, the players and the parents really helped lead the way on this. So if they want to try, you give them an opportunity to try. But it's tough all around, man. And so I think they can find a way to figure it out, but I also think the Big Ten's a little surprised at how this went. I do think maybe when they started, they thought, we can get through this with the testing, and it's just been tough. It's just been hard.
Doug Lamorese joining us on the hotline. So let's get to the next question. What kind of an asterisk are we going to put by this season? What are college fans down the road going to remember about this college football season? Because when you look at it, Alabama, Clemson, even Notre Dame, a traditional power from the past, they're up there, and Ohio State's right on the fringes. Just need to get the games in. It seems like a normal college football season when you just look at who's there.
You know, honestly, it's going to be about Ohio State. I really think it is. The playoff has been about Ohio State since they started this system, because Ohio State's constantly been the program right on the edge, barely making it, barely missing it. And so I think, as you said, Clemson and Alabama and Florida and Notre Dame, they're going to be able to look at this and say, this was kind of normal. And the issue is going to be if everybody kind of realizes that Ohio State, by talent, you know, by what they did when they played, was really one of the four best teams, and they don't make the playoff and don't have a chance to prove that against the other best teams on the field, then certainly Ohio State fans are going to put an asterisk on it. I don't know if Alabama fans would say, hey, we didn't get to play Ohio State. They probably won't care. But if Ohio State gets in, if Ohio State can get their test straightened out, get it under control, get back on the field, and then they get in because the committee says, hey, you know, you only played six games or whatever, you only played seven games, but you look good, you're in, then I'm not sure there's that much of an asterisk, right? But, man, it's going to be hard if the only thing that beats Ohio State is the virus, and that keeps the Buckeyes out of the playoff.
Doug Lamorese joining us on the show. I still think that this type of thing, I equated it to business, Doug. I think that when we're under these type of circumstances, we've seen a lot of big business be protected. And I think it's the same thing for college football. You know, I think that when you look at the big, big, big businesses in America, those are protected. When you look at the big, big, big college football programs, those are going to be the ones that are protected because those are the ones that are going to make most money. So while somebody can give me a good, strong argument by the end of the year for Cincinnati or BYU that rescheduled their entire program to be able to play, I'm still going to look at them and go, yeah. And I still think that Bill Hancock and the playoff committee are going to go, what's going to make me more money, a four-win Ohio State team that's only played four games or a Cincinnati team that played a full slate? I think that's what's going to happen.
I think they'll get in. I really do. I think if they don't lose and they play some number of more games, I do think they'll get in because I think, you know, I don't know about the money thing. I do think they try to put in the best teams, but I know what you're saying, and certainly a lot of people agree with you. I also think they're one of the four best teams. I think they're going to do more eye tests than resume this year. And eye test, even though it hasn't been perfect for them, they didn't beat Indiana by a ton. Their defense has issues. Justin Fields, Garrett Wilson, and Chris Olave passed the eye test, and I just think in the end, are they really going to look and say, well, we're going to put in whatever, this one loss team, this other team, when Ohio State's sitting there at 6-0, I just don't. I think Ohio State would get in, and probably in the end, Ken, the money thing certainly would be on Ohio State's side too.
All right, Doug, let's talk a little bit of Browns. 8-3 since you've been in town and covering this team. This is as good as it's been. We were going to do later in the week compare them to the 0-2 team that went to the playoffs and the 0-7 team that just missed out with Derek Anderson. So where do you put this team right now, all things considered?
You know, I think they're a fascinating team because I don't think they've played their best football, which is what they're all saying, right? Jarvis Landry and Joel Bitonio and Kevin Stefanski said that after the game. I think their best football is still ahead of them. I am going to write this at some point this week. I actually think there's a decent comparison maybe between them and the Titans last year. You know, that Titans team, I think, went 9-7, winds up in the AFC Championship game because they get hot, they run the ball. They get some good matchups in the playoffs. Listen, you know, whatever. If the Browns make the playoffs and wind up with the Chiefs or something, well, then, you know, stuff's going to be very, very difficult. But they have a thing they do really well. And if their quarterback can be moderately efficient and let the run game do its thing, and then Myles Garrett does whatever and gets back on the field, I think it's remarkable. Yes, they've played some pretty bad teams. But they really, I haven't gone through the whole league. I mean, the idea that OBJ is gone, Denzel Ward is out, they went 2-0 without Myles Garrett, Nick Chubb was out for a month. I mean, those are like their four best players. How many, Wyatt Teller was out? I mean, how many teams have had as much constant serious injury and COVID issues as the Browns have had. Yes, lots of teams have had it too, but I think that they're 8-3 and have missed so many of their best guys really, really says a lot about them.
You know what? I want to bring that up because you just brought up OBJ. John Costco, who writes for Pro Football Focus, he had a Baker Mayfield passing grade season splits with and without OBJ. He said with OBJ, 56.1, third worst. Without OBJ, 87 up, 87.0, fifth best. How is it? Because we're starting to find hard numbers here. How is it possible that a wide receiver as talented as OBJ, somehow a guy like Baker Mayfield, who's not the not the worst, but certainly not the best, how is he somehow better without OBJ? I don't understand how that, because I look at it, none of that makes sense. But I got numbers here saying different.
Yeah, I don't really understand it either. I think part of it's circumstance and luck. I mean, they've had some of these weird weather games where they've kind of battened down the hatches and Baker hasn't thrown it much. His efficiency is really high. And I saw John's tweet and I was double checking those numbers last night. Of course, he's right. I mean, it's really interesting. I think the one thing, and I was rewatching, I couldn't get away from rewatching the Jacksonville game last night, watching a lot of stuff. They've been able to make up for more of the loss of him than I thought. There were plays where Rashard Higgins and Tywan Taylor and guys were running off safeties and you saw Jarvis coming open because they still were respecting that deep route with guys running down the field. And you thought, well, if you don't have OBJ, no one's going to respect that. And they're going to be all over Jarvis and stuff. And they've managed to sort of weather that. And so it's hard. I just sort of refuse to believe that you're worse when one of your most talented guys is with you. I refuse to believe that kind of. But I think part of it is they've still been able – they haven't been killed by teams attacking them because they don't have a deep threat yet. I still think that might happen, but I also think there is some portion that we all see the psychological thing when OBJ's on the field, Baker forces it to them, and they never quite worked through that. But I still think they could, but I do think that is at least 25% of what you're talking about, Ken. We all see it. But I still think there's a world where they could have figured that out better, and they still might.
Doug LaMaurice joining us on the show. How good has Baker been?
You know what? I was watching every throw on the game on Game Pass from the Jacksonville game last night. I thought he saw the field against Jacksonville. There's not a Minkah Fitzpatrick, where did that safety come from? It's a pick six, like we saw in the Steelers game. Since that, he's not made that kind of mistake. He's not really made the kind of wild, hey, I'm under pressure and I'll chuck it up kind of mistake. The mistakes he's making now are there's a guy there and he's missing a throw. And I've been saying it's sort of like a sin of omission, like he's not doing a good thing as opposed to he is doing a bad thing. And that's quite a bit of progress. Now, you want him to make every throw. You want him to hit the open guy in the end zone. But I think he's seeing it, and I think Stefanski's helping him, obviously, with the kind of routes they're running, the play-action bootleg stuff. But sometimes I think first half of the year is like, what is he seeing? Sometimes he's seeing ghosts, not making a throw. Sometimes he's not seeing the defense that's there. He's getting picked. I thought right after the Jacksonville game, I thought he was okay because we know all the throws he missed. Rewatching it, I thought, man, he was kind of in control the whole game. And it makes me think he might really have something coming. There might really be a Baker game coming here against Tennessee or Baltimore is kind of where I am now because I think he's really starting to play better.
Doug, you're getting me hot. I'm liking it. I'm liking it now. Go ahead there, Tom.
Yeah, take us through the difference then with how we're feeling about this team depending on whether they win or lose this week. Like 8-3 is 8-3. I think the Browns fans are in for a – hey, no matter what happens with this team, they're going to make the playoffs most likely. We're feeling good about the run. But now the question is, what's the ceiling of this team? And I want to know what you think we'll be saying about this team if they lose versus if they win this weekend.
You know, I almost would like to prepare people for the fact that, hey, Tennessee might beat them by 25, and it's okay. Which is, like, almost every loss, I've kind of been like, don't freak out. Teams lose. Do you really think they're going to go 13-3? You don't get bonus points for winning close. Like, listen, if Derrick Henry plows them over and Tannehill's efficient, they make a couple mistakes on offense, they might lose by three scores, and they'll be okay. because they've taken care of business against the bad teams, they've given themselves wiggle room. They could lose the next two to Tennessee and Baltimore and still be right there, still be right where they want to be. Listen, the Raiders just got their doors blown off in Atlanta, and Atlanta stinks. So, like, this happens. You lose. So I don't think this is a make or break. I don't think it's a must win. I think they can beat Tennessee, but I'm almost would caution people more the other way. They can be 8-4 with what looks like a bad loss and absolutely be fine still because they've given themselves that room to work with. If they beat Tennessee and they look good, then they're a next level team, I think, than we even expected. And now you're talking about could they be 11-5, which who would have thought that? So I'd almost say just make sure you don't overreact if they lose and maybe don't look great, because I think they're still on track.
I'll tell you who it is going to be considered a must-win for, and I agree with you. It's not a must-win at all. They've already put them in position to where they can drop a game like this, and you know, you're not going to have Denzel Ward. Miles is coming off COVID, which coaches keep saying that players struggle when they come back from this. They say they do not have the same motor. They cannot go as many snaps. We'll see what the Browns say this week. I think they put themselves in position where it's not a must-win, except for the national media guys who want to tear down this team for their point differential, for losing their two biggest games of the year. With those guys, if as a Browns fan you don't care about them, then you'll be fine with this game either way.
I completely agree. And I got a little snippy about some of the stuff a couple weeks ago when people were pointing out the record against losing teams. It's, listen, yes, they've had an easier schedule than the Bills, let's say. But lots of other teams have had a schedule just as easy. Last year they were 4-4 against teams with losing records, and they wound up 6-10. This year they're 7-0 against teams with losing records. So, but you know who else has like a great record against teams with losing records? The Saints. The Saints and the Browns have had like the same season practically when it comes to beating lousy teams. You know, the Saints beat the Bucks a couple times, but good teams beat bad teams. That is not a mark against you. It's a sign of taking care of business. So I agree. I think I understand why Browns fans get angry. But again, you don't get bonus points for winning big, and you don't get bonus points for beating the Chiefs. The Raiders beat the Chiefs once this year. Guess what? The Raiders would love to be in the Browns' position right now. Instead, they're two games behind them because they just lost to the Falcons. So I agree with you. Browns fans can ignore it and enjoy your 8-3 team.
10 seconds. Would Urban Meyer take the Texas job? 10 seconds.
I think he'd think about it. I think he's very happy still right now. I think he'd think about it because it's one of the few jobs out there that is anything like what Ohio State is.
Doug, we thank you for the time. All the best.
Thanks, fellas.
Doug LaMaurice on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. One thought on that with you, Tone, when we come back. And can we even call it a real college football season? It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.